To kick off each hour of the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning, dear Jesus. This day is for you. We ask that you bless all we think, say,
was the Fours and Beyond class at St. Anne's Preschool. Thanks for listening to 1160 The Quest.
And thank you for doing the prayer. We really appreciate, love the preschool kids when they do the prayer. I'm Dave Savage, and this is the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive on AM 1160 The Quest. We've got some guests here. I'm going to introduce you in just a little bit. I just want to take care of a couple orders of business here, just to give an update. We are at what did I do with my notes here? Here we go. We're not even halfway to our $175,000 goal for the 3-day pledge drive. 2 days are gone. This is the last day. We really need some help here so that we can fund the programming here at the Quest. So we're going to start the day off strong because we've got a dollar for dollar match, meaning you donate $20, it's a $40 donation. $100, $200, and so on. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. And I know that a lot of people are hurting right now. I mean, a lot of people have not recovered financially from the pandemic, and or maybe they were hurting going into the pandemic. And we really appreciate the monthly donors that we get. That's the lifeblood of what we do here at the Quest. And I want to thank all the monthly donors, but if you could find it to maybe increase that monthly donation, I hate to even ask that, but I'm going to, because, you know, the fact is, with the inflation and everything, every household and every business is paying more for things than they were a year ago right now. And we're in no different situation here at the Quest. So if you can possibly give a little bit more, if you can swing that, it would be greatly appreciated. You can just call 470-508-1160. You can donate on thequestatlanta.com, or if you have the app on your phone, don't know why you wouldn't, but if you don't, get it, and then you can donate that way too. Once again, that phone number, 470-508-1160. And right now, oh, well, here, let me introduce our guests first. Let's do that. Amanda Haley, you're from Christ the King?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, great. Well, welcome. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank
yes.
You.
And so we are going to be talking this morning about the journey of the priesthood, correct?
That we are.
And so you brought somebody with you today, didn't you?
I did. Father Ray Panetta, he is our Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and I actually work with Father Ray. Not only do I go to Christ the King, but I work at the Archdiocese on an ongoing formation for priests. And so we are going to talk about the journey of priests from discernment, the time of discernment, all the way through active ministry, where our department actually helps priests with conferences and education and continuing formation. So we're real excited today.
I'm excited to hear this too, because I'm just guessing here that the Quest probably has a little involvement here along the way in that journey to priesthood.
I would imagine that it does. We're happy to be here to support Quest Radio, and it does play such an important role by providing informative and inspiring content and programming that highlights our faith. And I think Father Ray's going to talk about this a little bit more, but, you know, it does cultivate a Catholic identity in Atlanta, and it's something that's really important because, you know, there's resources, you can mm-hmm. listen to things, and you can get your questions answered, so it yeah. is very wonderful.
So, I'll tell you what, I'm going to kick back here. I'm going to interrupt in just a little bit to give that phone number out again, but go ahead.
Well, as I mentioned, I'm here with Father Ray Panetta, who's our Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and he has a lot to say about vocations today. So we're just going to start with him and ask him to share just a little bit about yourself and then maybe tell your vocation story, because we all love to hear vocation stories.
Great. Thank you, Amanda. It's good to be here. So again, yeah, Father Ray Panetta, I'm the director of vocations for the Archdiocese. I've been in this role for just a little over a year now. A year ago, Archbishop Hartmeyer entrusted this to me, and it's been quite a year. Very busy, but busy and blessed in a lot of ways to journey with men and women who approach me with that question, like, what is it that the Lord is doing in my life, and how can I respond to His invitation? So it's a job that I didn't envision having. I think when we're in seminary, we don't think that we're going to end up anywhere except a parish. And then we get pulled into these different parts of the church that are necessary. So it's been really life-giving to be a part of this side of things, being able to help in the formation of priests and the discernment of people. In terms of my story, I tried over the years to narrow down to a few minutes, but it's really difficult sometimes, just because I think we can all look back and see that the Lord has just done so much more than we even are aware of sometimes. But I'll try to be brief here. So I'm originally from Mexico. My family is from Mexico, from a very remote part of Mexico in the southwestern curve of the country, I call it. The state is Guerrero. Most people know that state because Acapulco is on the coast of that state. Mm-hmm. And that was a big tourist spot a while back. But we're from the inland, from the mountainside, and we are again from a very remote town, and that was where my family, my mom and dad, where they met and where they intended to raise their family. And right around when I was 2 years old, my family was my mother and I were in a pretty tragic car accident that almost claimed our lives. It left my mother in a coma and with severe medical issues, and so that prompted my father to need to like rethink, you know, what he needed to do to support his family, to provide for their needs. So we moved to LA seeking just a better life, better possibility of my father helping my mother recover from the injuries. And in LA, we kind of established a good community there with other relatives that had moved there from the same region. My dad was just looking for a better lifestyle, and my aunt had moved, chasing her now husband, to Atlanta right before the Olympics. And so she reached out to my dad and said, why don't you come over here? There's a lot of work, and I think there's a lot of opportunities here for you to find some stability. And my father came out first, and he found a job and got established, and then he brought my mother and I and my then siblings to Atlanta, where we became members of the cathedral community, but we were at the mission, which used to be in Lindbergh, and the mission has since moved a couple of times as it grew. But that was such a beautiful, beautiful community to be a part of as a child. If you think about it, the mission was in an apartment complex where we lived. So throughout the week, our backyard was where we played, like our playground, and like throughout the complex. But then on Saturday and Sunday, it was our church.
That's wonderful.
And it was just that kind of sense of community, and the way of that we received that education and that kind of lifestyle. It wasn't just kind of something that we did. It was something that was just a part of kind of our routine, our way of life. It was known like we needed to keep the place a certain way because we were going to have church there. We were going to have classes there.
So your whole life was centered around the church.
It was, yeah. Thanks be to God, yeah. Everything we had been through, we couldn't have done without the support of the church community. And so there's a lot of grace in just even at that point. But they're kind of encountering the fuller life of the church with the priests and the religious. So Sister Maria de Jesus, who was there helping us at the mission, became a good friend of the family. And she would come over for like Bible study and rosaries and, you know, meals. And that presence was just incredible, and it just planted a real seed in my heart to like understand that there's more that we can do. You know, we were always encouraged to think about like our future, you know, what can we do to live the American dream and all of that, but it was beautiful to also have as an option that we could do something for the church and for the Lord.
Well, that's a powerful story. It really is an amazing journey to Atlanta. We're glad you're here in Atlanta, and we're glad you're a priest for the Archdiocese. Can you tell us a little bit about your vocation story, how that happened?
Sure. So that being kind of the groundwork, I mean, we then moved out to Gwinnett County And so it was hard to leave that community because, again, it was so centered around the church. And then Gwinnett County at the time, it was still very much growing. So whereas church was in our backyard, literally, now we had to drive, you know, 20, 30 minutes to get to our parish. And at the time, St. Patrick's in Norcross was the only place that was that really had a Hispanic community. So that's where we would go. And we lived closer to other churches, but that's the community that kind of my parents found a home in. And that's where the rest of the story kind of came to be. Now, throughout my middle school years and high school years, I didn't really think about it too much. But after having a lot of different kind of events in my life where I had to really come to terms with the fact that, like, God had definitely been doing something, I had to ask the question, like, what is the reason that, like, my life has been what it has been, mm-hmm. and that the Lord has, like, spared me of a lot of pretty dangerous things, I would say. And in asking that question, naturally, I was just kind of led to have conversations with the priests at the parish, the deacons, and their support just so natural as a part of the way that they kind of had built trust with my family. It allowed me to have the courage to respond when everybody was applying to colleges and I was applying to colleges. So I had the courage to say, like, maybe the Lord is asking something different. And having their support was just so essential in knowing that this, if it is God's will, you know, this could be something that would pan out.
Thank you, Father. Love the story. I love to hear these stories of how it came to be. I just want to take a little time to break in here and mention this is the Best of the Quest pledge drive on AM 1160 The Quest. And if we got to thank some people here because you two are very popular. Amanda and Father Ray, very popular. Let me just give a shout out to a few people here. Mary Mack of Atlanta. Thank you very much. That's in honor of Amanda. In honor of Father Ray and Amanda, we got Betsy from Washington. Thank you very much. John from Dunwoody. Thank you. Mary, in honor of Amanda. Mary's from Atlanta. Rankin from Atlanta, in honor of Father Ray and Amanda. I think it's Khaki. In honor of Amanda. Love you, Mom. Okay.
Yeah.
Assuming that's your daughter.
That is. Yeah.
And then also Nancy, in honor of Amanda, from her great aunt Nancy from Dallas, Texas.
All right.
Thank you very much for the generosity. Now, I want to mention that each one of those, I don't care if they gave $5, I don't care if they gave $1,000, it got matched dollar for dollar. So every one of those donations that I just mentioned there, they're all doubled. Easy, so easy to take advantage of that. All you got to do is call 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com or tap donate on the Quest Atlanta app. And once again, that phone number is 470-508-1160 for the Quest, the Best of the Quest pledge drive on AM 1160 The Quest. And Amanda Haley from Christ the King, along with Father Ray. So go ahead. I'll interrupt here in just a little bit.
All right. Yeah. Well, speaking of Quest Radio and kind of, you know, how you talked about, you know, your entire faith life was centered around the church. You had a culture and you lived it. And so that was part of your vocation. Tell us a little bit about how you think Quest Radio can assist the Archdiocese with vocations and creating a culture to, you know, spur vocations.
Yeah, good question.
I think that's you know, in the formation circles, I'm learning a lot. There's a lot of education that comes along with, like, this role, and so as you interact with other vocation directors and other kind of programs that help us in the formation of seminarians, there's this term that's been thrown around for several years now, and it's called, like, the phrase is creating a culture of vocations, or a culture of discernment, if you will. And you know, you can imagine how important that is, that you mentioned, Amanda, that I had that, and I didn't know that I had that. It was just part of it. But that's kind of what a culture is. You just kind mm-hmm. of exist in it. It becomes a part of you in a certain sense. And I think we have to recognize that as much as we're growing in Atlanta and the Catholic community, it's a real blessing. I mean, leading the nation in so many ways, it's a really phenomenal thing. We don't actually have a Catholic culture still. I mean, we have a lot of Catholics that are on fire and in love with the Lord and with the church. But in terms of cultivating a Catholic culture, it's not there. And that makes sense because, you know, who would have thought that the South would have been what it is today in terms of Catholicism?
Exactly.
And it takes a long time for a culture to develop or to ingrain itself, you know. But doing things like this, like kind of creating the environment of the Catholic mind, of being able to say, like, you know, you're creating a space where, like, good content is influencing your family life and your life and the way that you are living your discipleship. And you're surrounding yourself with that. We take for granted the noise and how the noise impacts us, you know? And so I would say, like, part of Catholic Radio, Quest Catholic Radio, is that they are contributing to that cultivation of a culture where, like, it is something that creates an environment that lends itself to prayer, to discipleship, to families, like, journeying together in the faith, to getting the resources that are necessary, the education that is necessary. And little by little, what that's going to do, I truly believe, is it's going to allow us to have the bigger conversations. It's going to allow us to be able to engage the question of, is it possible that the Lord is calling me to the priesthood? Is it possible the Lord is calling me to the religious life, which is so essential to the life of the church, not just for the sacramental aspect, but for the identity of the church? You know, to be able to see priests and religious in public and so present, it's going to go a long way in giving us the confidence to live out the faith and to do it, you know, journeying together with all of the kind of challenges that are still in front of us, but with all of the excitement that is behind us as well.
What are the other facets of, you know, cultivating a culture of vocations? You had, when we had talked earlier this week, you had mentioned a few of them. Could you tell the audience Sure. a little bit more about that?
Sure. A lot of it is kind of caught up truly in the we never take prayer for granted, but sometimes we say we don't want to, but we do. Mm-hmm. And we wonder sometimes if our prayers are effective. I want to go back to, like, when I was first discerning. I remember Archbishop Donahue was the Archbishop of Atlanta at the time, and he had a phrase that he would use. And the phrase was, "We get the priests we pray for." And, you know, on the surface, it seems, okay, that's accurate. Like, okay, are we praying for more priests? Are we praying for more priests? So I thought, on the surface, what it means is we're going to get the number of priests that we are, like, praying to receive. But in reality, I think what he meant, and I never confirmed this, but just kind of knowing a little bit more about him, I think what he meant was precisely that we are getting the type of priests that we are praying for. Are we praying now for holy priests? Are we praying now for the kind of priest that is going to be able to minister to my family situation, whatever struggle I'm going through, whatever struggle my children are going through? Are we praying now for men who are in formation to have that? To have that good education, good fostering of their own compassion, of their own heart, their own love for the Lord and the love for the Lord's people. So it's about having that awareness that, like, our prayers very specifically can alter what is happening in the formation of our young men and the support that we give them. Another really important facet is, you know, priests, kind of one of the more iconic things about priesthood is that we forego our family by living out the celibate state. And we do so to serve the church better, but also as a gift and as a witness to, like, you know, what will be in the fullness of time. But we still need a family. And not just our own biological families that can support us. The reality is a lot of our seminarians are coming from contexts where, like, their families may not support them for whatever reason, their own struggles, their own challenges, our own woundedness. They need the presence of families in the parishes, in the communities that they end up serving in the summers and on assignments. They need the witness and the invitation of families to be able to give them that really beautiful grounding, that they have that support. Something as simple as inviting a seminarian over for a dinner or being able to kind of invite them into a very special prayer intention or a tradition that your family might have, something like that. It goes a long way when a man returns to seminary, and in seminary there's this, like, bubble where, like, it's a very, like, high pressure place because you're trying to cover a lot of ground. You need to have an experience that you bring with you into seminary to remind you why you're there. And families are going to be essential in kind of giving the men in formation that sense of, like, this is why I'm doing it. It's for that very concrete situation that family's going through, for that very beautiful witness that they gave to me. and just being okay with that. And the, of course, the, I would say the next biggest component of creating that culture is precisely making an option for our young people. You know, we encourage them to be successful in so many ways, but it's important for them to know that, like, among the many things that we desire of them is that if the Lord is calling them to be priests, to be religious, that they are free to do that, and that we are joyful about that. And even though it means it's going to be complicated and difficult and challenging for the whole family, making it an option, I think, is going to go the longest way.
So I was wondering, if someone is feeling called to discern the priesthood, what is their first step, Father Ray? Would they contact you or contact the Archdiocese? How does that work?
They can certainly do that. But I think the most successful scenarios that I've seen, and even coming from my own experience, is to be able to approach someone that you trust. And I would say someone not just that you trust as a friend, but someone, a friend who shares the same mind, the same objectives, someone who is also invested in, like, their own holiness or their own desire to serve the Lord. And I think that goes a long way, because you'll learn that you're not alone in the thoughts that you have. You know, sometimes living out discipleship, it's a very unusual thing in our modern day, you know? So, to be reminded that you're not the only one thinking this way, and to journey together with other people who share the same mind, it's going to go a very long way and give you the confidence to respond with courage to the invitation of the Lord.
You know, Father, you mentioned something, and it made me think, it's like we're always praying for priests, but this is the first time I think I've heard pray for the quality of priest that we get. It just kind of struck me. Yeah, we always pray for priests and vocations and all that, but that's really something to think about.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Father Ray, and Father, you're with Christ the King, right?
I was there on assignment a few years ago, but I'm now full time in the vocations office.
Okay, great. And then Amanda Haley, you're with Christ the King.
Christ the King, and work at the Archdiocese. Yes.
Okay, great. So, but anyway, we're talking about the journey of the priesthood here on the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive on AM 1160 The Quest. And we want to thank Caroline and Peter from Roswell in honor of Amanda. So thank you very much for the donation. And I just want to mention, too, that we've got dollar-for-dollar match money up right now. It's going away at 9 o'clock, so you've got a half hour to get that taken care of. Your $50 donation is $100, and so on. So make sure that you're doing that. And I also want to mention, too, I mentioned this a few times yesterday, but everyone who calls in or donates, I mean, obviously we want the donation, but even if you just call in during the pledge drive, we are going to have a novena of masses offered for the members of your family who are away from the faith. So, you know, get your name on that list, make a donation, and obviously if you can't swing a donation right now, that's fine. We'll still get you on that list for the novena of masses for your family members who are away from the faith. We're going to take a little break right here, and we will be back shortly talking with Amanda and Father Ray on the quest.
You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, and this is our fall pledge drive, where the theme is The Best of the Quest, Stories of Inspiration. After hearing these stories of inspiration, if you are moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Best of the Quest pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's VerseBright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
AM 1160 The Quest had such an overwhelming response to the Book of Esther Bible study that we're once again teaming up with Proclaim My Word to bring you a new study called God's Plan to Protect You. Carrie Allen, what are you going to do?
Present the letter to the Ephesians written by St. Paul. It's an awesome letter that he is trying to encourage the Ephesians to stay strong in their faith, not to forget their first love, and to understand that God has a plan for them and he has a plan for all of us.
Sounds great. How do we get in on this?
Go to the website, proclaimmyword.org, and register, sign up, and then you can download the study guide, which you can use as you're listening. But also, it will give you an opportunity to form some small groups, either virtually with another group, or you can use in person in your area, in your church, neighborhood, or whatever, that you can study the letter to the Ephesians together.
The Letter to the Ephesians Bible Study starts this October on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Hey, it's Christy with Healthy Coverage for Life. We offer low monthly health insurance premiums, no copays, and except for hospital stays, there are no deductibles. Time to start saving.
HealthyCoverageForLife.com.
In the most recent edition of the Georgia Bulletin, read about a new evangelization document outlining a cohesive vision for college campus ministries. The September 15th issue also shares the Pope's plea for peace. Learn more at georgiabulletin.org.
We've all heard it said before.
Catholics aren't pro-life, they're pro-birth, and it ends there. Pro-lifers don't care about mothers or babies after they're born.
But that's simply not true. Help take away that pro-abortion talking point by supporting Walking with Moms in Need, an initiative helping pregnant and parenting women in need. Your parish is called to help these moms in need. Some parishes in the Archdiocese already have this program in place, providing a variety of assistance to moms, including things like maternity clothing, children's clothing, diapers, and having baby showers for moms who chose life. Your time, talent, and treasure are needed. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is asking each parish to create their own Walking with Moms in Need program. If your parish has not started the program, ask how you can help start it. To learn more about Walking with Moms in Need and how you can help, go to walkingwithmoms.com.
According to a survey by CNR Research, more than half the people underestimate their monthly subscription bills by nearly $100, from video and music streaming to gaming. They forgot about some of them, but kept making the payments. Is it possible you have some? Maybe you could make the Quest your forgotten subscription. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you just to stay on the air. Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents Mom Minutes with Cameron Frad from Among the Lilies.
You are amazing and wonderful and enough. I think oftentimes we fall into comparison traps and we think, I'm not good enough or I'm not like this person. Sally has her kids in dance, or Sarah's kids are on honor roll, whatever. Like, the Lord knows that you are who's best for your children, right? And your main goal as a mom is to get your kids to heaven. It doesn't really matter. Like, when you get to heaven, St. Peter's not like, hey, did you play 5 seasons of soccer? No. Oh, you had a bad mom. Or were you on the honor roll? Oh, your mom didn't try hard enough with those flashcards. No, your job as a mom is to love your children. Help them to know, love, and serve our Lord and get them to heaven. And the best mom you can be is accepting who you are. Be the best you can be. You can't be Cameron Frad. You would be a horrible Cameron Frad. I can't be my friend Julia, who's amazing and wonderful. I need to be me. So be you, be yourself, and get your kids to heaven.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
The Quest invites you to cover the bishops and priests in the Archdiocese of Atlanta in prayer. Just volunteer to commit 1 hour of prayer per week for a year. No meetings, no paperwork, no reports, just prayer. Learn more at sevensistersapostolate.org.
You're simply the best!
The Best of The Quest, Stories of Inspiration Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Best of The Quest Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We just heard a little message there from the Seven Sisters. We're going to be talking about that in just a little bit here on AM 1160, The Quest, the best of The Quest pledge drive. And we are talking with Father Ray and also Amanda Haley about the journey of the priesthood. And interesting so far. We love it. But I want to mention this is a pledge drive. And we have match money up until 9 o'clock. So if you want to get that pledge in right now, would be a great time to do it, because dollar for dollar, you're being matched no matter what the donation is. I don't care if it's $2,000. We've got that much match money, but I don't want to leave a single dollar of it left unmatched. So make sure that you're donating right now. Don't wait. Do it now before 9 o'clock. 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com or tap the donate button on your phone on the app. Once again, that number is 470-508-1160. Amanda?
Yes, you know.
Oh, hold on. I got to turn your microphone on before anybody can hear you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, and I just want to echo what Dave says. You know, The Quest is 100% listener-supported Catholic radio, and it really depends on your generosity to keep bringing quality national and local programming to you. So I just encourage everybody to make a donation online or by calling the 470-508-1160. And, you know, you can hear these great programs. Like, for instance, our Archbishop Hartmayr has a radio show now called Peace and All Good, and it's just one of the great local programs that The Quest has. So,
and you know, and it's, let me just jump in here, but aside from just the local programming, it's also things like we just heard that Seven Sisters mentioned. There's things going on in the Archdiocese, there's things going on in the parishes that we're talking about, that we're letting people know about, and that's another great thing that The Quest brings to this community, to the greater Atlanta area. And it requires money. I mean, we've got a studio here, we've got offices, very frugal. There's nothing lavish here, but it does cost money. So 470-508-1160 is that number to call.
And thank you. We were just talking with Father Ray about creating a Catholic culture for vocations, and we were just interested, Father Ray, if you could tell us a little bit about what you do as the director of vocations. I have not been Catholic all my life, but I did know somebody was in charge of vocations, but until I started working at the Archdiocese, I didn't really know what the director of vocations does.
Yes, so. I thought I knew as well before getting into this role, before the Archbishop asked me to take over this role. It's a really beautiful way to live your priesthood. Like I said, it's a very unique ministry that you'll be asked to do. I'm so fortunate. I inherited a very good program. We've had very good vocation directors in the past, and I feel like they just gave me this gift of a good group of guys to journey with. And I think when people think vocation director, they kind of default to just that, right? So like, and certainly that is the most of what I invest into in terms of energy and kind of time, journeying with the men who are in our formation program, and even before that. So I would say there's a few different parts that I can identify. First, the discernment. So like creating opportunities for people to discern. So those are like anything from our events to discernment masses to more one-on-one accompaniment with young men and women who come and who feel like the Lord might be calling to something other than marriage, or maybe feeling the call to marriage and needing encouragement even in that, because that is truly also a beautiful vocation. But I think people, as they default to like, okay, priesthood equals vocation, that is a lot of what we do. And so everything from those moments of early discernment, asking the first questions, seeking accompaniment that way, to the application process, which I don't know if people are aware, but it's a whole process. And it's good. We have a lot of parts of that in place for very good reasons. It's a psychological evaluation, different recommendations from your pastor, from your family, from your friends, a health evaluation, a biography, interviews, things like that, you know, to allow us to get a bigger picture, a more full understanding of what a man is bringing forward to be formed. And then that allows the Archbishop and myself to make a decision on who becomes a part of our formation program for the priesthood. And then placing them in the seminary. We use a couple of different seminaries because we feel like they're going to form our guys to suit the needs of our archdiocese, which is very diverse, very big, varied in a lot of other ways. And so using a couple of different options for formation is going to benefit the church in Atlanta down the road. And so finding out what would be the best fit for each seminarian, where they can be formed with all their gifts, with everything that they're bringing. And then obviously the entire time that they're in seminary, they're considered men in formation. And that has a number of different levels on its own. But journeying with them, I always say that time is so precious. It's also very fickle. It's a high pressure environment. It's a beautiful environment. They have kind of the community, the support of their brothers there in the seminary, but they're away from their families. They're away from the diocese. They're away from their normal communities that maybe fostered the vocation. So being able to check in on them, to visit them, to accompany them, and to keep up with the demands that are being put on them in terms of like really becoming configured to Christ the priest, which is a big phrase, a very daunting thing to consider. But in all of that that is being asked of them, being able to also just give them the support that they need, and then leading us to ordination, where like, you know, a man completes that journey and the archbishop and the church kind of determines their readiness for ordination, and then kind of seeing the joy of that is really beautiful, to be able to see men get to that point. And then to remind them, it's just beginning at that point, because it's an ongoing thing. And we'll talk about that as well, because that's where you come in your role at the Archdiocese as well.
And you're a shepherd for this process, for all of these young men. And he just told me, Father Ray just shared that he was going to be traveling to visit all the seminarians. Mm-hmm. In the month of October. Right. So there's a lot of touching base and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Doing evaluations, visiting them, checking in, being able to be there present in front of them to be able to see really how they're doing, you know, be able to notice things if they need support in certain ways. And but I'm not a big traveler myself, so it's always a difficult thing. So scheduling everything in October hopefully is going to work out just fine. But I ask for prayers for those travels, because it's a very good thing to do, but it's personally a little difficult, but it'll be fine. It'll be good to see them.
Well, speaking of prayers for priests, that is what is near and dear to my heart. I was a convert to the Catholic faith and was confirmed about 14 years ago after attending a silent retreat. And I asked the question, what am I protesting? Because I was a lifelong Presbyterian, but attending a non-denominational church at the time. So the journey took me on, the question took me on quite a journey. And I did a lot of Googling.
I don't mean to interrupt, but it took me a minute. What am I protesting? Because a Protestant.
Exactly.
I didn't have to make the connection there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Exactly. But that caused the question was a pivotal question that I asked in my lifetime. And I don't have anything against a Protestant faith. My mother is still Presbyterian, and I'm so grateful for my faith growing up. But I did have questions, and so I started this process, I visited the Catholic sites. I watched shows like EWTN. I would have loved to have had The Quest at the time, but that resource wasn't available to me at that point in time, but it is for the people now that are going through this journey. So, several years and 60 books later, I came into the church, and since that time, my brother converted and then began discerning the priesthood, and he is now a priest in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. His name is Father Mark White. He was at the cathedral for a little while, which is my parish. That was a huge blessing. And now he is down at St. Joseph's and Queen of Angels near Washington and Thompson, Georgia. So vocations and supporting priest is near and dear to my heart. And when the position opened at the Archdiocese and ongoing formation, for planning their meetings and their events, priest events and meetings, I just applied immediately. And then started realizing, wow, you know, our priest, we need more priests, and the priests that we have are wonderful, but they can stretch themselves too thin and become overworked. And so they really just, they need a lot of prayer. Mm-hmm. And Bishop Ned contacted me, and actually his sister was involved in the Seven Sisters Apostolate, which is a prayer ministry for priests. She was involved in it in her diocese, and he asked, he's like, is there any way that we can start this up here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta? I'd like for our priests to have the same prayer support. So I jumped on it, and we introduced it actually at the Eucharistic Congress, and now we're just trying to recruit more Seven Sisters. It's actually a ministry and an apostolate that is their call is actually to strengthen the church by ensuring that a holy hour is prayed each day of the week for the sole intentions of a specific priest or bishop. They call it a holy wasting or a lavishing of prayer for a priest's deeper conformity of Christ. So it's a beautiful, beautiful mission. It's actually a group of seven sisters who pray for one priest, mm-hmm. either their pastor or their parochial vicar. Each sister takes a different day of the week, so the priest is covered in prayer for 1 hour every day. As the little advertisement for the ministry says, you know, there are no meetings and there's no paperwork, so it's a win-win.
It's just prayer.
It's solely prayer. And, you know, it's a one-year commitment. So people sign up, and I'm told, though, by Bishop Ned's sister, her name is Kathleen. She's just wonderful. She's like, you know what? She goes, when people, it's time for the sister to sign up again, they always do, because they see such changes in their priest and their parochial vicars, and they're so excited to continue to pray and support their priest in ministry. So if anybody is interested, anybody that's listening is interested in joining up and being a seven sister, they can visit sevensistersapostolate.org and find out a lot of information about it.
Amanda, you said so much right there, and I want to dissect some of the things you just said, because it all relates back to the quest.
Before I
get into that, I just want to mention this is the Best of the Quest pledge drive on AM 1160 The Quest. And to keep great things like this going on, and I'll explain exactly what it is, but I want to give that phone number right now, 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com. You can donate from the app that's on your phone. And once again, that phone number is 470-508-1160. So, Amanda, you were talking about, hey, what am I protesting? Why am I a Protestant? And when you started getting into that, it reminded me so many times of the journey home, the show we run at 11 a.m. on weekdays. And that's always a story about somebody who was maybe Protestant like you were, and what led them to the Catholic faith. And so great programming like that is here on The Quest. Also, another thing you were talking about is the Seven Sisters. Now, we're running that message. It's a little 15-second message that runs throughout the day, every day, and letting people know to pray for priests. And this is Bishop Ned's thing, I guess I'll call it. I don't know. But it's his near to his heart. And so we're getting the word out about that for the Seven Sisters, like you are as well. And in order for us to serve the community here, it does take money. So if you can donate, if anybody can donate anything right now, whatever that donation is for the next 10 minutes or so up until 9 o'clock, we have a dollar for dollar match. And I don't care, like I said, if it's $5, if it's $2,000, every dollar of that will be matched if you call 470-508-1160, go to thequestatlanta.com, or you can donate on the app as well. So we got to wrap it up here pretty soon, but go ahead, Amanda. Did you have more?
Well, yes. You know, Bishop Ned's, he's in charge of priest personnel. The bishops are kind of divided in their responsibilities. So he's in charge of priest personnel at the Archdiocese. And he's actually my boss in ongoing formation, and he's Father Ray's boss in vocations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's concerned. One of his chief concerns is about his priest, about the happiness, the holiness, and if his priests are healthy, you know, physically, psychologically, and spiritually. And so, you know, he knows that the foundation of the church is really the priest, and they need to be fortified and supported in prayer. There's this really beautiful quote in the Seven Sisters brochure by a Father Fitzgerald that says, "In strengthening the priest, you strengthen the whole church. Strengthen the priest and you strengthen the whole foundation. You strengthen everything in the church." Mm-hmm. So we are just really called to support our priest and our seminarians, because we need strong seminarians so they can make strong priest. And as Father Ray had said earlier, it is one of those things where it's a fickle time in seminary. They have a lot of pressure. They're learning a lot. So, you know, we always pray for our seminarians, but it's really important that we continue to pray, you know, pray for our priests, even our retired priests. Our retired priests actually do say a lot of masses, give a lot of sacraments. They still give of themselves, even though they are not maybe a pastor or parochial vicar. So I think it's really important that they're covered as well. Mm-hmm. So I would just really encourage people to think about participating in the ministry. Think about, you know, just visit the Seven Sisters Apostolate.org online, and it can tell you how to sign up and give more information about how to start a group at your church. And men, do not fear. There is a fasting brothers that is a group that joins along with the Seven Sisters, and it's a brother will take a day of the week and fast for a certain priest, and it's a group of six brothers instead of seven, because Sunday's a feast day, and so there's no fasting on Sunday. So you can find out more about that on that same website. But these are just ways that we can strengthen our priests and our seminarians, and I hope that everybody will join us in helping out with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Amanda. That's such a great cause. It really is. I want to mention, give a shout out to a few people here. We've got Susan from Johns Creek. Thank you very much. Dolores. Oh, well, we had one from your daughter, and now she's doing it in honor of her daughter, Amanda. So we got it on both ends there, from your daughter and now your mom. So we thank her, Dolores, and also Suzanne from Sandy Springs. Thank you all very much. Each one of those donations is going to be matched dollar for dollar. So I don't care what it was, $1,000, $5, anything in between, it is matched dollar for dollar. And all you have to do is call 470-508-1160, go to thequestatlanta.com, or go to the Quest Atlanta app and hit the donate button.
And I just wanted to see, Father Ray, I think that you had mentioned in our conversation earlier that there's some events coming up for people who might be discerning. So I wanted to maybe you could talk about that for a minute before we wrap up.
Certainly. So we have all of these events can be found on calledbychrist.com. That's calledbychrist.com. It's really easy to remember. I love that. We've had that for a long, long time, and it's very unique. But all of our events are on that page, because I'm not going to be able to even remember all of them myself. But everything from our monthly discernment masses for men and women to our upcoming come and see visits to the seminaries, then also discernment retreats that are going to be happening. In particular, I want to point out on November 12th, that'll be like the culmination of National Vocations Awareness Week. November 12th, we're going to have a discernment mass followed by a vocations fair at the Cathedral of Christ the King, which that used to happen a long time ago, and it hasn't happened since. And I just really am excited about being able to really bring all of the religious serving in the archdiocese, and then even some outside of the archdiocese, forward to be able to be present for anybody who is discerning a call to the priesthood or religious life. So we're inviting all of the religious orders serving in the diocese, and we're reaching out to some of them, some contemplatives that are outside of the diocese, to be able to come that day and to just be present, to be on a panel, and to be able to answer any questions that men and women who are discerning might have. But that's November 12th at 10 a.m. at the cathedral is the Mass. And then right after the Mass will be the vocation fair, followed by a panel where we'll be able to ask questions in a more public forum. But more than anything, just to have an opportunity to encounter and to ask questions personally to different religious orders living out different charisms, really seeing the church fully alive in the different ways that the mission is being lived. So that's November 12th at the Cathedral of Christ the King. Everything begins at 10 a.m. I'd really love to see many, many people there, because I know that the Lord is doing many things in this diocese.
That's a wonderful opportunity. Mm-hmm. It really is. Well, I think we're about to wrap up. Father Ray, would you like to close us in prayer?
Of course, of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for the many ways that you show us your love, and the many ways that you invite us on this journey and on this mission. Most of all, the way that you invite us to see the needs around us and to respond with a generous heart. We thank you, Lord, with gratitude for the generosity of everybody supporting this mission, everybody supporting the efforts of Quest Radio, and We ask that you continue to send your Holy Spirit to guide everyone involved to do and accomplish everything that you desire to accomplish through this wonderful resource. We pray, Lord, for men and women discerning in the diocese, for our priests, that they may be good and holy priests. And we pray for our families that they will learn to support the mission of the church in fostering vocations in their own communities and their families. We ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. And I'm just going to mention real quick here that everybody that donates or calls in, just you don't have to donate, but we're going to have a novena of masses, and that's going to be offered up for the members of families of your family who, if they're away from the faith. So it's a whole novena of masses offered up for those people. And if you want to donate, you're going to be on that list. Everybody who donates, or if you can't swing a donation right now, I realize times are tough, you know, inflation and all coming out of the pandemic. Maybe you just don't have it. And that's fine, too. Just get your name on the list, and we'll go from there. And we still have maybe 3 minutes left for that match money. So you still have time to get a donation in there. Thank you, Christine from Roswell. Just saw that pop up on the list. So thank you, Christine. And just remember, your donation was matched dollar for dollar. Amanda Haley, Father Ray, thank you very much for being here and helping out supporting the quest.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.